From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. In the Clark Ford studio, a very wet morning, going to probably become a very wet day or days here in Oxford.
It's going to stop raining around 4 o'clock tomorrow. It's going to be a wet...
It's going to be a wet track for the baseball game.
They're going to get the games in. If everybody's worried about games, they're going to get them in. Relax. It's going to be very wet. It's going to rain all day today. It's going to rain all night tonight, and it's going to rain well into tomorrow. The drainage system will be tested.
Yes.
There's a chance there will be a delay, depending on whether the weather lingers a little bit.
But nine innings will be played.
But everybody can just relax, take a deep breath. But it is, if you're driving up or down from somewhere, you're probably going to be driving into rain and through rain. It is going to rain.
Yeah, already at 8:06 a.m., rain started to blow in sideways a little bit this morning. So, yeah, it's going to be getting a little precipitous, if you will. In the next day or so. We're going to talk some food today. Kelly English, noted podcast correspondent over the years, joining us. We'll discuss a little Easter menu, probably a cocktail or two, and more with him coming up in a little bit. And obviously a good bit of baseball. Ole Miss overcomes a 5-run deficit. They were trailing 4-0 after an inning, 5-0 in the third. Come back to win 7-6, keyed by a really strong bullpen effort from Houston Roth, Greer Holston, Dallas Wolfolk, and Parker Kiraci, and then Thomas Dillard hit a 3-run home run in the seventh to give Ole Miss the lead and the enough runs to hold on and win the game. So we'll discuss that a little bit today. Ole Miss 23-3 on the season, the first team nationally to 23 wins. I think Florida's right on their heels, Oregon State's right on their heels, but anyway, that's not how you get into the postseason. Although, if you lead the nation in wins, you're probably going to end up all right, I have a feeling. So 23-3. For the Rebels heading into a very critical, or it looks very exciting, if you will, series against Arkansas. I hate to use the word critical because then there's going to be mass chaos if they lose 2 out of 3 or something. So we'll avoid the word critical. But anyway, big series this weekend against Arkansas. The podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go ahead, get some ribs, wet or dry. They'll be waiting on you to go take care of dinner for you there at the Oxford Exxon. Plate lunches every single day, $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink, bottomless refills, 49 cents. You buy the cup one time and then really fill it for 49 cents. Always have a fountain drink there to quench your thirst with the Oxford Exxon. Remember, Chad Kelly is going to be there before the morning of the spring game, and $5 is going to be donated to the Magnolia Speech School for everyone that comes in for that event to see Chad. So that's the goings-on at the Oxford Exxon, and Neil will tell you a little about Clark Ford.
Clark Ford is in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he will send you a quote within 15 minutes. Right to the bottom line. No haggling. Nice and easy. It's actually like two adults having a normal conversation. No one's trying to screw anybody. Just right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you. You get your quote, and you can shop it to your heart's content. Or you can go ahead and let Corey do for you what he's done for so many, which is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, which will drop later today. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, which will be recorded a little later this morning. You can even mention the greatest pod in the South, presented by Cathead Distillery, which will be recorded later today. Heavy podcast day. Mention any of those. $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory.
So, stick with baseball a little bit to open. By the way, before we do that, thanks for sending me all your pictures of your Disney brackets yesterday. Enjoy that interaction of looking at the different brackets. It appears that many of you agree with us that the Incredible should not have made the run that it made yesterday in Mr. Knox's bracket.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Dawson Knox is biased, and he allowed that bias to overrule his objectivity.
Mm-hmm. He likes Cinderella. That was Cinderella.
That's, yeah, well, sort of. I mean, I think we all like Cinderella, but at some point we all grow up. We realize Cinderella's not real.
Ironically, Cinderella not in the bracket yesterday, but
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But that wasn't Pixar. It didn't have to be Pixar. It was Disney and Pixar.
Because, I mean, several of those weren't Pixar. Lion King's not Pixar.
You know, Cinderella, when we went to Cinderella's castle, she didn't stick out.
Didn't do much for you?
Well, she wasn't kind of as exotic as
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas and Ariel, the mermaid.
Yeah.
Whew.
I see that I'm also not alone in the McDonald's drive-thru mishap. Multiple people sending pictures of the drive-thru in McDonald's the last couple of days. People do not follow the sign, and the little yellow merge thing is up near the ordering computer. So, anyway. Ole Miss beat Southern Miss for the third straight time last night. They swept the series last year and then won yesterday, and I told you that I'd give you give you something if Ole Miss did do that. So since they finished it off last night, here's your trivia question for the day. Just the first person to tweet at me and Neil and the Oxford Exxon podcast. You have to put all three in the tweet or you don't win, just because I'm being a stickler for the rules today. If you're a member, I'll give you a couple free months at rebelgrove.com. If you're not a member, I'll send you something in the mail. You just DM me your name and address. If you win, here's the deal. Last time Ole Miss beat Southern Miss three times in a row, the third game that clinched the last time they beat Southern Miss three games in a row, who was the winning pitcher for Ole Miss? Send that to me, and we will get you something. We'll add some time to your subscription or however we can best suit you for participating and taking part in that. If you won our bumper sticker contest, you can't win this one. Sorry, somebody else has to win at least this one time. So that is trivia question for the day. But anyway, I thought they were dead in the water, Neil. Jordan Fowler gives up four runs.
You had company on the message board, my friend.
I was not alone. I think my brother was the only one still holding out hope. He made a message board post that they still very likely could win this thing.
They've been coming back and winning those games all year.
Yeah, 4-0 in the first, already in the bullpen. Jordan Fowler got one out.
It happens.
It does. I give Southern Miss a lot of credit here. Southern Miss got to 6 full count at bats in the first inning. Ole Miss threw almost 50 pitches in the first inning.
I love teams that do that. When the Cubs won the World Series in 16, that's how they did it.
Yeah. Just grated on him and grated on him in the first. The zone was a little tight. Fowler was missing with the fastball. Hunter Slater hit one of two home runs on the day and dang near hit a third to win the game in the ninth. But they get out of that inning, it sort of steadies because Roth only allowed one run over five innings. Chase Cockrell gets a two-out double, I think, in the fourth to cut it to 5-2. And at that point, you could kind of feel, hey, game on, a lot of game left. And then after Roth, Greer Holston, as I said, Mike still using Dallas Wolfolk in more of a setup role. And then the ninth was quite interesting as Parker Kiraisi allows a run to come in after a very errant throw by Ryan Olenek. And Slater comes back up with two on, down one, and hits a ball about a foot shy of the wall. Will Golson goes back to the wall, puts his back on the wall, and catches it to end the game and preserve Ole Miss's 7-6 win. And they just kind of kept hitting it. You know, I focused my game story last night. Thomas Dillard entered the night hitting 179 against left-handers, 400 against right-handers. And in the fifth inning, when he came up with a couple guys on and one out, Scott Berry, the Southern Miss head coach, turned him around, made him hit right-handed, and he struck out on four pitches. Seventh inning comes, exact same situation, one out, two guys on. They brought another guy in, turned him around, and on the second pitch, left a fastball up and over the plate, and he hit it 389 feet with an exit velocity of 103 miles an hour out of Swayze Field for the go-ahead shot. And I talked to Mike Bianco about it a little after the game, and Thomas started the year 0-16 against left-handed pitching. And last year, his splits were exactly opposite. So Mike thought he just got off to a slow start. He had a couple mechanical things going on from that side. But it's not like he can't hit from that side. If anything, it probably will even out over the course of the year. You don't blame Southern Miss for going to that direction. There's no reason to not make him hit right-handed. But I think that, and some of this is me, just like I've mentioned it, so people have asked me questions, and I've put splits out there. He's not the liability from that side that the stats indicate that he is. And then last night gets the big hit from that side. If anything, teams will probably stop doing it quite as much as the average creeps up, I would expect.
Yeah. They played the averages,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah, baseball happens.
for humans playing the game. But you play the averages. That's why they and you see the shifts. The shifts are not perfect. They don't mean that, okay, well, we got it now. It's cool. You still have to make the pitch and all of those things. And sometimes people hit it through a shift, for example, or they'll lay it down the other way. And sometimes you have to sort of tip your hat.
It appears that he has settled on a lineup, too. There hasn't been a whole lot of lineup volatility the last three, four games. He's sort of found it and settled it in, especially against SEC teams or midweek teams that are ranked number 14 in the country like Southern Miss was. It's a nice win. You know, it's that game, as always, where for Ole Miss, it was a momentum win. It was a, hey, keep everything rolling win, especially the way they did it, to come back, get even more confidence if they do find themselves behind in league games moving forward. Southern needed it more for RPI purposes because that's how you are when you're Conference USA. You need those midweek games. But for Ole Miss, it had a different meaning, a different reason, but still one that they certainly needed last night. As they move forward to Arkansas Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Mike, you get the win. He didn't overextend anybody. You probably wouldn't have loved to have to go to some of those guys on the bullpen on a Tuesday night, but when it got down to it, again, none of them were overextended. It's all good. Wolfolk and Crazy didn't throw many pitches, and you move on to the Hogs on Thursday. Reminder, they've got a guy out this weekend. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but we'll discuss Arkansas more tomorrow than today. But that's what happened last night. Good win, good crowd. I saw where they sold the hot dog guy on Twitter, so they sold over 3,000 hot dogs last night.
It's a lot of hot dogs.
It's a lot of hot dogs. I think they announced over 9,000. It wasn't that many, but it was a huge crowd for a midweek game. It was mostly full. The weather was gorgeous. Not much else going on. 6:30 start to allow people to get there. All the elements were in place for one of the better midweek crowds I've seen in years. And as you know as well as I do, when you're 22-3, you seem to draw a few more people than otherwise. Kind of funny how it works out like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Just keeping it real a little bit.
Winning.
People like winners.
Yes.
Socrates here on the podcast today.
People like winners, and the weather was decent last night. It was windy. You could tell something was blowing in, but it wasn't here yet.
I mean, first pitch, it was like 75 and sunny. It was still great at the very beginning.
Yeah. So. Weather and winning.
Around the SEC last night, Tennessee staying hot. They've been pretty good since they left Oxford a couple weekends ago, beating Western Carolina 17-3. Georgia 5-1 in the SEC. I asked David about that yesterday. They beat Charleston Southern 7-0. Florida beat Florida State 1-0. Florida's either won 7 or 9 in a row against Florida State in midweek action. They've dominated the Seminoles in past years. Things not getting any better in Starkville as they go on the road last night to Nicholls State. It's just Nicholls now, actually, isn't it? It's just Nicholls.
Just Nicholls. Everyone's dropping the states.
Okay. Just Nicholls beat Mississippi State 7-4 last night. The Bulldogs 13-13 overall, 1-5 in the SEC.
Moving I don't like their chances to host a regional.
Probably not hosting a regional. But, I mean, they're going to hire Tim Corbin in the offseason, though, so it's going to get back quick. It's all good.
Oh, the Tim Corbin?
The Tim Corbin, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I would kind of like to see Corbin at a school that has scholarship restrictions, though. I do wonder what his tenure would look like at a place that wasn't like Vanderbilt.
Well, it'd be different.
But yeah, thanks.
Why is he leaving?
Well, he's not leaving. I mean, personally, I think he's won a title. He's not majorly overrated. I do think he's mildly overrated.
He probably is mildly overrated, but I forget all that. I just look at it from his perspective.
I get all the scholarships in the world, and you're paying me $1 million a year.
I get to live in Nashville, which is a really nice town, especially if you're rich.
Yeah.
He's making $1 million plus a year.
Probably.
Gets whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
It's really easy to recruit baseball players to Nashville, especially when you can give them 100% scholarship. Why are we leaving? To go to Starkville, Mississippi? Does his wife have eyes?
See, they have this left field lounge thing, Dale.
His wife would look at him and say, did someone hit you in the head with a ball, Tim? Are you okay? Did one of the players hit you with the bat? Do we need to go to the doctor? I mean, literally, I think her reaction to, baby, I'm thinking about taking the Mississippi State job, would be, oh, dear sweet Jesus, you've had a stroke. I don't think it would be anger. I think it would be, oh, God, something's wrong with my husband. Let's get to a doc. Let's get to a neurologist.
In State's defense, the names the fans bring up more often than Corbin are Dan McDonnell and Jim Schlossnagle as they move into their coaching search.
Why would either of them leave where they are to go to Mississippi State?
Yeah, I don't think either are leaving at all.
He's leaving TCU?
Yeah, that one just from a system standpoint makes no sense. I do wonder, not with State, I've mentioned this before, I do wonder with Dan if he gets the same support from an AD not named Tom Jurich. Jurich had decided to just win at baseball no matter what, take losses in university, and it's a profile sport that's becoming more profile. We're going to win at it. I don't think Dan leaves if he gets full support at any point because, I mean, he's shown he can win the ACC there. They have a ridiculous streak going. But certain administrations, I feel like, would pull back some on baseball at Louisville, although maybe Louisville doesn't hire people that would put in that position.
Well,
but there is a test case weirdness there a little bit.
Dan is the guy that probably does take a step back and talk to the new people and say, are we
– you're doing the same stuff Tom did? We good?
Are we good?
Yeah.
But if he is good, he's got a good gig.
Yeah.
A better gig than State, and frankly, a better gig in many ways than Ole Miss.
Yeah, different.
And I don't think Dan is coming to Mississippi State if Mike's still at Ole Miss for a while. I don't think their relationship – I think from what you've told me and what I've heard from other people, the relationship's more valuable than that.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't buy that.
Yeah, Louisville's not a better job than Ole Miss or State. They're paying a lot of money because of the success that Dan has had. And it's located in an area where the lack of geography isn't as much of a hindrance because of Dan McDonnell. He played at the Citadel. He's from New York. He's got a lot of ties throughout the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. He's one of the few guys that can go cherry-pick from those areas and make that work. There's a lot of coaches that would bomb at Louisville. Dan is not one of those guys.
Well, he's not going to bomb anywhere, probably.
No. He's good.
But, you know, I can hear the State people right now going, you're being whatever. Jim Schlossnagle's not leaving TCU for Ole Miss. Tim Corbin's not leaving Vanderbilt for Ole Miss. The Ole Miss job has challenges that neither of those jobs have. And I know it has a lot of great fan support, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I'm not criticizing the Ole Miss job. But I'm just trying to kind of keep it real. If you're Tim Corbin, there just aren't many places you're leaving Vanderbilt for.
In a bubble, I get why Dan – like, the Louisville coach would typically consider Ole Miss and State. But Dan's a different guy. He's a loyal guy. I would be stunned – if he left for, frankly, anywhere, as long as he's getting the support he's getting at Louisville.
If you told me today that 5 years from now Dan McDonnell is at one of the Mississippi SEC jobs,
yeah,
I would tell you, my guess would be, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I was wrong on something yesterday, and you thought the world would come to an end. If I would guess that meant Mike Bianco
retired,
stepped away amicably, and even recommended Dan as his replacement. I think Dan would consider Ole Miss in those circumstances.
Yeah.
I've never, you know this, I've never believed that he would replace a forced out Mike Bianco.
No, not even a possibility.
And I don't believe that he would go to Mississippi State and compete at that level with Mike. I think their friendship is different than that. Yeah. I mean, he would if he were, you know, unemployed, and that was the job that got offered because we all like to eat.
But picking one off the table is not, yeah.
I mean, I think if you told me that he's in an SEC job 2 years from now, I'd say, well, he got the Georgia job, or he got the Auburn job, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he got a Florida opened up, South Carolina, something like that.
Yeah. Arkansas went on the road to Memphis last night, beat the Tigers 8-7, scoring a run in the ninth inning. Vanderbilt, speaking of, they got beat by the Bisons of Lipscomb last night, 5-1 in a midweek.
Clearly distracted by the Mississippi State thing.
The University of Louisiana at Lafayette beat LSU 3-1 last night in New Orleans.
Well, Lafayette beat LSU?
3-1 in New Orleans last night.
Oh, gosh.
How do you think that went on some message boards around the state?
Oh,
Louisiana's pro sports team losing to, or pro baseball team losing to Lafayette.
Yeah.
Auburn beats Alabama in the Capital City Classic in Montgomery 5-2 last night. You know, Auburn is 9-1 in the last 10 Capital City Classics against Alabama.
I did not know that.
They are.
War damn Eagle.
And then wrapping it up, Texas A&M bouncing back from their weekend series loss to Ole Miss, going on the road to Texas A&M Corpus Christi and beating the Islanders. Is that right?
I think that's right.
5-3 last night in Corpus Christi. So there's your SEC scoreboard brought to you by no one, but it can be if you'd like to give us a call on this this here podcast. We'll go talk a little food in a second. We'll come back after that and discuss some basketball recruiting news yesterday and more after talking to Kelly. We'll go forward to Kelly in a second. Tell you the podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. And still a little time left to get those pressure washing deals. If you've got a pressure washing job of over 2,000 square feet, $50 off. Or if you sign an annual contract for them to take care of your yard all year long, they will do your driveway and sidewalks for free. You'll notice a huge difference. Take advantage of that. MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank? It allows them to do auto financing. State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. They have great business insurance policies, great rental property policies. If you have insurance needs in Mississippi or Tennessee, go to Google, enter Romero Miller State Farm in the search engine thingy, read some reviews, and then give Romero Miller a call. It's Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know Super Lawyers only selects the top 5%. Of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Now to Kelly English on the Billy's Pecans Hotline on the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
Kelly, good morning from Memphis, I assume, on this Wednesday. Going to get into a little Easter stuff. Probably just going to talk some food and cocktails and different things with you, maybe some Ole Miss sports over the next 20 minutes or so. But I am curious
here. My three favorite things.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of your jam.
Yeah.
You are remodeling Irish. You're changing up the menu. You're taking what has worked for a long time, throwing it in the trash, and completely redoing it. I'm curious here as a consumer. What is the challenge or the entire thought process for taking things away that people obviously have come to love and then making them love other things? I mean, is there some hesitancy in removing such popular dishes off the menu and different things? Because, I mean, I'll tell you, there's a place in town that took away my favorite appetizer about 2 months ago, and I understand why they do it, but I still get a little pissed off when I look at the menu here or there.
You know, there's no hesitancy on my end. I get that. I do. But I think whether you're talking about food, you're talking about a marriage, or whether you're talking about a college football offense, if things stay the same constantly, somebody's going to figure it out or catch up to you or really get sick of looking at you. So, you know, we wanted to take a whole fresh look. We've never been able to have a bar in there. That's going to change things a lot for us. We're going to We're going to rip down some walls, and we're really excited about it. And you know, to be honest with you, when we opened Iris, part of the thing that I think made us so successful was that we changed all the time. And over the years, as we put a few things on the menu, people would say, "Oh, you can't take that off. You can't take that off." Well, it's ended up being half of our menu. So we're just going to kind of reset. We're going to look at who we are. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. It's a different staff. I've been through some great things. I've been through some hard things in 10 years. And it's just, it's kind of time. And to be honest with you, the lifespan of a restaurant, you know, 10 years is a good long time. So I think that it's a good opportunity for us to look at ourselves and just kind of refresh a little bit. It's not like we're not going to cook the same way we used to. It's just going to be some different items, you know.
What, in the last 10, 12 years, whatever it is, what does kind of, you know, what are a couple things on a menu that would date it? Like if you walked into a restaurant and you saw, hey, they're preparing it this way or using these ingredients or whatever, what goes, hey, that was really cool in 2007?
A big stupid steak stuffed with oysters and blue cheese, probably.
Hey, I love that thing. That's good.
So when we opened Iris, a good small example of this is our Brussels sprout salad, which has kind of been one of our hallmarks.
Yeah, the sherry, the bacon, Iris, and the whole deal.
Yeah, well, no one really was cooking with Brussels sprouts yet. And I'm not saying no one anywhere ever, but at least in Memphis, Brussels sprouts were not a thing. And now Brussels sprouts are probably one of the most overused vegetables to make things look fancy. And we just don't want to do that anymore. And we don't want to do it because we've always done it. You know, I look at all of the bands that you like. They don't make the same record over and over.
Nickelback does.
They change a little bit every time. I liken it to Radiohead. Not everybody likes Radiohead, but every album they make is wildly different from the next one. And you might not like every one they put out, but you respect them for it.
Not asking you to give it away, but do you know what's going to be on the new menu? Have you already basically planned the whole thing out? What's, you know, where is that process for you right now?
I know it's going to be on the bar menu. So we're going to have some rotation of some super hyper Creole dishes that are gonna cycle around through the bar menu. You're gonna be able to eat full dinner at the bar and all that. But we're gonna have some snacks that you can have there that are gonna be very based on my family recipes. And then my chef de cuisine and I are working together on the menu right now for what's gonna come in there. And you know, he's gonna be the one running the dining room. I'm really excited. After 10 years to be able to let somebody else give a little attention for some of the cooking. I'm not going to retract myself from the kitchen, so to speak. I think far too often chefs get all the credit for everything that happens in a restaurant, and I'm excited to let somebody else get a little bit of credit too.
Hey, you know, had you had the bar and walk-in seating, you could have avoided that entire feud with Tony Parker back in the day, just telling you.
You just had, you know, a forethought. What? That's fair. You're right. You're right, Tony and his bodyguard, and I could have chummed up with Ava before they got divorced.
Oh gosh, that's great. So, all right, Easter's on Sunday. I hate ham. What should I do? You know, I'm not a ham guy.
Man, you know, it's funny. At Iris, every year we do a rabbit dish for Easter, and I guess I don't know if that's just like my sixth sense of humor. But we always sell out of it. Like people buy it. You know, you hate ham?
Hate is way too strong. I prefer turkey to ham, and I'm not a huge fan of ham as a main dish.
I'm kind of with
hate
you.
And love are very similar emotions, Chase.
Yeah, I know.
It's indifferent. Indifference is the opposite of
indifference
love.
Is the that. Right word, because I don't mind it. I'll eat it. A good ham sandwich in the moment's a good ham sandwich, but if a ham is on a menu, I'm never choosing that dish as a main course, ever.
But bacon?
I like bacon. Different.
Kind of.
Same
animal.
Yeah, don't play semantics with me. I like pork chops, too.
This is what's weird. I like pork chops. I like pork chops. I actually really like pork tenderloin, and I love bacon. I mean, I think bacon's the you know, nectar of the gods, but I'm not I could eat ham, and I'm not going to turn it down, but I never wake up and say, man, you know what I'd love today is a slice of ham.
You know, so if I'm having breakfast and I'm having a biscuit sandwich and I'm given the choice between bacon, ham, and sausage, ham is my last choice.
Even if it's like, are you a country ham fan or is that too salty?
No, I do. Let me back up. I love country ham. Okay. I like prosciutto. When you put it on a sandwich, that it just doesn't, like, if you try to take a bite of a sandwich with prosciutto or country ham on it, the first bite, the whole thing comes out, and it looks like a tongue from a cartoon on a dog. Like, it's just hanging out.
Yeah.
You can't bite it. That's not where it should be. And I don't think country ham should be cooked either. So, as far as, like, warm foods are concerned, no. But to me, Easter, my favorite thing to do with Easter is just have a late brunch. I'm not that big into ham. I like eggs. I like the breakfast food. I like biscuits. It's kind of your last time to, like, lazily carve it up before it's time to be summer and you don't want to be lazily carving it up anymore. And so Easter to me is like very breakfast and like casserole-y. That's what I like to do for Easter.
Yeah, you've got a go ahead.
No, what do y'all do? Dinner? Late lunch.
It's typically kind of lunch, and my wife's a real traditionalist. She likes all the ham, the typical Easter stuff that, like, your mother would have put on the table.
What is typical Easter, like, stuff?
You know, just ham, potatoes. Like, I mean, just whatever.
Like potato salad,
pineapples and Coca-Cola on your ham, or what?
Oh, good question.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and I really don't know the answer to that because I avoid it so much that I'm not 100% sure there. I typically know how everything gets prepared. Ham is not one of them. I don't know.
I like the mustard, and maybe a little, not much, but just a little brown sugar, and then you put it on the Big Green Egg. Rest in peace to my Big Green Egg.
Did it die?
Well, the top fell out. It wasn't assembled properly. I had to get a new... The bracket that holds the top, to the springs and everything, I had to replace that, and it was not properly installed, yeah. And the top came off and broke into five gazillion pieces, and I've let its carcass just sit on my patio, and I can't decide whether to replace it, get a new one, or just never go there again.
You know, if you have the disposable income for a Big Green Egg, I think they're worth every penny. They're great, great cooking devices.
Oh, I love mine. I miss it. We were very good friends. We spent a lot of time together, and he's gone. And cooking with the little gas grill is not the same thing. Yeah, rest in peace. I hope that it is in a peaceful place. But I used to love putting the ham low heat on the Big Green Egg, and it would just kind of get a different flavor. I don't really like the ham where it. I prefer it that way than I do in the oven, for example, because sometimes it comes out of the oven, it almost feels wet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. What about lamb? Chase, you like lamb?
I do like lamb.
What about a leg of lamb on Easter?
Is that easy enough to cook?
Lamb.
How complicated is that? Is that easy? Easy-ish?
Just as easy as a ham.
Is it really?
As he just described on his Big Green Egg, yeah.
Okay.
Just want to let it take a little while.
Okay.
I love lamb.
What would I put on the lamb? What would I do?
I like to stab it over and over with, and that sounds a little violent. I didn't mean for it to.
You're killing rabbits. You're stabbing the lambs. Good job, Kelly.
Like stuff it with old garlic cloves, right?
Okay.
And then salt. I think that people are scared of salt, or they just don't know how to use it as much. But when you're talking about a big piece of meat like a ham or a leg of lamb, or you're putting all the seasoning you need for the whole thing on the outside of it, and I think that you should aggressively season with salt and pepper. I like a lot of rosemary on. I think rosemary goes well with lamb. I'm not a mint jelly guy. If you are, that's cool. I think a leg of lamb on Easter makes you look like a rock star.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that one.
All right, real quick.
Yeah.
Chase, we have not talked about this. You got a Big Green Egg, I believe, for your birthday?
That is correct, yeah.
That was back in...
December.
Have you used your egg much?
I actually have really not. It's been somewhat weather related, been somewhat schedule related. I kind of actually made a – this week, I'm home. Baseball's at home all weekend. I've kind of set this week out to be the, hey, get organized, start doing things I kind of want to do a little more. I've kind of gotten bogged down by kids' sickness, just stuff here in the last month or so. But no, I'm going to need a few more weeks probably before we report back and have full full conversation on that. But,
are you still intimidated by the idea of it?
I think you break it out on Easter, man. Leg a lamb.
I'm incredibly intimidated by it, yes, but that's okay. Kind of like Neil with technology, me and the egg, but it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I understand.
Kelly, especially at second line, you've always tried to put a lot of very creative cocktails together. I'm getting sick of the look, I like a Manhattan or a Sazerac as well as anybody in the world, probably. I'm getting a little sick of the whole bourbon push, though, frankly, just publicly, like it getting pushed in your mic. Everything getting overinflated on prices and just the weird thing we have going in that with bourbon right now. What's the next thing? What am I going to get annoyed by next with alcohol? Is there some other spirit that's making a move?
Yeah, rum.
Oh, really? Okay.
Rum. They make some great sipping rums right now that I would drink like bourbon. Actually, I had a Manhattan the other day, but instead of bourbon, I used añejo tequila. It was badass. It was really good. Ooh. If you like tequila.
I love tequila. I had a margarita in Nashville. I wish I could remember
where
the tequila.
Where'd you go?
I was on the West End. I was at the market over there by you know where the hot chicken place is, where everybody waits in line for 2 hours to get chicken. It's kind of right.
Hattie B's.
It's like right across the street from that. We just were sitting at the bar. We're watching the tournament, and for whatever reason, a margarita sounded good, and I got it. And I wish I could remember the name of the rum. I mean, not the rum, the tequila. It was like I can't remember. Anyway, it was fantastic.
Reposado.
Yeah. I've sort of gotten in my mind that I've like been pulling up different tequila drinks and stuff that I'm going to, as the weather warms, I'm going to switch occasionally from bourbon to tequila.
Tequila is not just to end your night quickly anymore. It is there's some great tequilas out there. We do a lot of tequila drinks at the second line and mezcal as well. I think the gin drinkers will tell you that gin's next as well. And there's some great, have y'all ever had, there's a brand called Leatherby out of Chicago.
Nope.
They make a gin that will just knock your socks off. It's the best. I'm not a big gin fan, and I love it. I love it.
What are one or two sipping rums that you would recommend?
There's a brand called Granger, Grander, that I like a lot on its own. And then this is going to sound really weird, but there's a brand called Plantation, and they make a pineapple rum. I know, stop looking at me like that. It is fantastic. It's really good. And it sounds like nothing that I would ever even come close to or even let someone talk me into trying, but it's a great cocktail rum.
Is rum neat or on the rocks?
I'm never really a neat guy. I like rocks. I like my drinks cold.
Okay.
I throw a rock in it. Yeah.
Okay.
Might as well.
Yeah.
There's nothing. The story of America goes with the story of rum and colonialization, all that stuff. But, the sugarcane crops that were grown to make rum, both in the islands and some in the mainland, you're drinking history of America with rum as well.
Yeah, I've done like the New Orleans rum distillery tour thing. That's really all I've done. I've never gotten into rum if it's not in some like weird beach drink or banana daiquiri or something.
Have you been up to Memphis to that bar DKDC down in Cooper Young? It's a rum bar.
I have not. No,
it's great. They got great music acts. Next time you're in Memphis, you should go check it out. It's really good.
Okay. You do a good job of like mixing in like the Memphis tourism stuff while we're talking to you, just throwing the hit here and the hit there.
I get they send me a check every time I mention Memphis. I like what we have going on around here. It's a good time to be in Memphis for sure.
You keep up with everything pretty good. I feel like you and I text some. You're typical fan. You're not over too high, too low. You've got a fairly good sense of things. How do you feel about Ole Miss's athletic program right now?
I think if as far as football is concerned, I feel like our cloud has been lifted. You know, I think that there's plenty of things that happen behind the scenes that fans don't know about or that aren't talked about. I like Andy Kennedy. I think that our fans, whether they're being unreasonable or not about what our program is at, if we wanted to pull the trigger on Andy Kennedy, I feel like we should have done it with Mike White a couple of years ago. Now, all this being said, Ross is a friend of mine, so I'm not going to second guess any of his decisions. But I Kermit Davis seems like a good guy. I don't know why in the world he put his foot into the flag thing. That was unnecessary. It's not an issue in college basketball. It's not an issue in college athletics. I don't know why he said it. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all for him to have in his introductory thing. No matter what you believe, whether you think that the protests are warranted or not, there's no reason for him to have stepped into it. What do y'all think?
Yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, I think he got my guess. I haven't talked to him. My guess is that he got carried away kind of talking to his people, and it was maybe his first, hey, you're not at Middle Tennessee anymore. When you're at one of these SEC schools, everything is programming, and everyone sees right. it, and you're on a bigger stage, and don't say more than you have to.
Right. I just I heard that. I was like, man, you know, there's what? Why? Why would you even like? That's why.
Yeah, there's five or six topics in today's media landscape, where you know we're going to get hits and clicks and whatnot, no matter what side of the aisle anyone's on.
Did y'all see the thing with the Ole Miss picks put up the?
Yeah.
That was ill thought as well. Or at least the explanation. It might work somewhere. I don't think Ole Miss is the place to do that.
Yeah, there's just
that's my opinion.
Neil and I have talked about that. I don't know at what point you completely move on from past or whatever, but there are certainly lexicon items that just can't be hit here still to this day in 2018. So what's I don't think I ask you what's timetable for your renovation? I know you're going to throw a couple dishes on at second line in the meantime. What's kind of going on from a calendar standpoint?
I think that we're going to close right after Mother's Day. We'll reopen the very beginning of July into June. I think it's going to take us 6 weeks. But, it's going to look different. I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to see what it looks like. I kind of think of it like a little girl growing up to be a woman. I don't think dudes go through that. Like, there's no, like, big difference between being a kid as a man and growing up. I mean, yeah, you got to make some decisions, but a woman and a little girl are different beings, in my opinion. So that's kind of how I look at it, not to be overly esoteric about a restaurant renovation.
No, I get it. Well, Bud, appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Great to be here.
Thanks to Kelly for joining us here on the Billy's Pecans Hotline and the Oxford Exxon Podcast. A podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. It is located in Holly Springs. 662-252-2321 is the phone number to give them a call. Find out all they can do to help you, whether it's sildenafil or some other product. They deliver wherever you are, and now they also own and operate G&M Pharmacy in Oxford on South Lamar. They deliver local and give you great hometown service. I've started using them, and you should too. Again, TysonDrugs.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Ask about their lease options. If you are driving a limited number of miles, you want to drive a brand new car at 1990s prices, you can do it at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market
better than he does, go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the property's neighborhood tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com, an updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Arkansas begin a three-game series tomorrow night, weather permitting, and I think the weather will permit. So check that out, OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Had your microphone way down there. I hope they can hear you. We had headphones on a second ago. We took them off, and I just looked up, and there was very little going on.
So you made a production error?
I potentially made a production error. We'll find out for sure, but it's a possibility. So.
Okay.
Also want to tell you about one of our new partners here on the podcast, Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. It is a completely free service, tell you that, every single day, specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations. Take the stress out of planning, takes care of all dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation for you to enjoy it. Expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides no matter the crowds. Mention the podcast and get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. Again, contact Brandon for free, no obligation quote, Brandon at keys2dreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687. Appreciate Kelly. Again, a lot of those recipes that he's pulling out of Iris, we've got the recipes for those. He's done English Eats for us for a number of years on football weekends. So if you shoot me an email or make a post on the message board, we probably could get that Brussels sprouts recipe to you, the duck enchiladas recipes to you. And more, even a breakfast casserole, since he talked about casseroles for Easter's and whatnot. I've got a good many of those in the inbox somewhere from Kelly and on the site at rebelgrove.com. We're almost to the point of Neil being able to take Jonathan and Kelly and put a rebelgrove.com cookbook together between the cocktails and the recipes and different things.
Yeah, Jonathan is joining Jay and I on the Best Pod in the South.
Is he?
Presented by Cat.
You know, I asked for him, and then he gets on the other show. I feel like we've got some production issues here where we're getting kind of pushed out over here a little bit.
Well, when you are in my shoes right now and you're doing 8 podcasts a week, you just sometimes have to take care of yourself.
Okay.
Sometimes, I mean, you just – sometimes it's not even about priority. It's just about you've got –
You do also have the out that your title sponsor is a liquor company.
Yeah, and there are pie plates sitting here that must be filled, and sometimes you're like, hey, throw it in here.
Okay, it's fine. It's all good.
Talked NASCAR and Final Four preview on the Beer Garden.
Range.
That'll drop. I mean, you talk in range.
We're doing award-winning chefs, award-winning bartenders, NASCAR, and college basketball and baseball this week on the podcast.
Tommy Prater says that here's a tease.
I love Tommy Prater.
Tommy Prater, he's great. Tommy Prater said that in person, Danica Patrick is gorgeous, and then he used another word to describe her. That was interesting. You want to listen in?
Ooh, Tommy doesn't seem like a guy that goes at people.
No, doesn't.
Okay.
There's some Danica Patrick content on the Beer Garden coming your way.
Okay.
Pretty interesting.
We had Chris Malloy on the podcast last week. He predicted that his team was going to start playing better. Big things around the corner. They shot a school record round of 269 yesterday to win the Hootie at Bulls Bay in Charleston, South Carolina.
You're burying the lead here.
What's
he came
the lead?
On our podcast, and then they won.
I believe he has 3 podcast appearances in season in the last 2 years, and I'm pretty sure they have finished first, and second after those 3 appearances.
There is a direct correlation.
We get his mind right.
He spends a little time with us, and he comes away, and things are clear. I told him on Twitter that he showed there was a picture of the course, and I said, if you need some tips. And I think just that tweet to him put him in a very clear place.
They fended off Kent State with a one-stroke.
One-run 18th? Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
One-stroke victory. Braden Thornberry birdies the 18th to also take the individual title. He shoots a 66 in the final round to get to 13 under and win the individual. So the individual and the team title for Ole Miss men's golf is they've got a couple more tournaments prior to SECs. They go to Gastonia, North Carolina. And then they are at Waverly for an in-state tournament. So, yeah, 66 now.
Can't even imagine.
AKA your front nine.
Front nine? Dude, my front five.
Nah, it was better than you. You know it was better than you anticipated. Quit that.
I was better in the mid-range game than I thought I would be. For sure. Yeah. I was better with like a 4-iron in my hand than I thought I would be.
Yeah, you actually you kind of sculled it down the fairway most of the time without.
I did. I was okay there.
So again, lowest team score in Ole Miss program history, and then Braden Thornberry, third lowest 54-hole total in school history as well for them. The Ole Miss women finished second in their tournament in Georgia, I believe, over the weekend. Corey and Drew putting a resurgence to that program. They've been much better this year. They appear to be
they're a podcast or appearance or two away from getting over
actually,
the top.
Actually, in my head yesterday, I actually said I need to get Corey on the show, kind of talk about building that. Because I'll tell you, and this is what I kind of want to talk to her about. I was listening to one of the golf podcasts, the No Laying Up podcast, and they had the LPGA commissioner on their show.
Uh-huh.
And I watch some women's golf, not a ton, but I will tell you, it's so much more relatable to the average person because I'm watching Rory McIlroy. I'm never going to hit the ball 330 yards. I'm never going to hit a 190-yard 8-iron. It's not possible.
Right.
But I'm 150 out. I very likely have the same club in my hand as a really talented women's golfer. You know what I mean? From a clubbing and just a playing standpoint, now they're going to beat my eyes out.
Sure, I know.
But we have somewhat of the same clubs in our hand. It's the same game.
You're watching a similar game to the one that you try to play.
I mean, Ole Miss hosts a tournament every year. They've played through on me, and we've both been on the golf course and stuff. And yeah, they're hitting the same shots. Now they're going to get inside 100 yards and just kill you.
Well, it's like when we played with Jonathan that day that I shot the 160, whatever it was.
No, 151.
Is that what I did?
Yeah, 151.
Okay. That day,
now Jonathan saved you 10 shots.
Yeah, so I shot a 160. Watching him hit just a few shots.
Yeah.
It's like, because, I mean, all jokes aside, the other people playing were good golfers.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't playing the same sport that Jonathan was playing. I mean, they weren't. They were playing the same genre of sport.
Yeah.
But they were not playing the same game.
They both had the same objective.
Yeah, but he was doing it. That's why I laugh sometimes at, we talked about this before, football coverage. A lot of people try to get into the deep, hardcore X and O's. And you can do that, but you better have someone to really help you along or else you look like a fool. Because the people that are coaching and playing the game or coaching and playing a different game than the one we're watching. It's like with golf. So you're right. I mean, there's probably not anyone on the LPGA tour who's crushing it 330 down the fairway off the tee. So it's a similar game. They're just significantly better at it.
Yeah, and not to get off here because this is about Ole Miss women's golf, but the LPGA does a fantastic job marketing itself. Like, it's really fairly phenomenal. Just from a entrepreneur, company, business standpoint, I think a lot of people could learn a lot from them as they –
Well, I've covered a couple of their events because they have a tour stop in Mobile.
Oh, do they?
They're very accessible.
Oh, yeah. Out of their way.
Like NASCAR.
Their players send the sponsors thank you cards every week. Their players.
Yeah.
Good luck getting NBA, PGA golfers to do that every week.
Not going
to
happen.
LPGA golfers are given cards with pictures and names of the most important sponsorship-type people at every course to find them, say hello, and then send correspondence.
That's smart.
Oh, real smart. So,
yeah.
Just saying. Interesting stuff there. So, Kermit Davis getting good news yesterday. Zach Naylor
Yeah.
Going to stick with the Rebels. First big win for Davis on the recruiting trail.
12 days after people inside the program told me emphatically, no way. Major recruiting win.
Yeah, it means he did some work.
Major recruiting win. I've had people ask, what does it mean for Sorrell Smith? My guess is nothing. Tells you that they probably have a chance on Sorrell because they're good at what they're doing. They have a lot of energy right now. It's new. It's fresh. They're also offering playing time, and they're out on the recruiting trail. They've offered a lot of 19 kids, 20 kids. They're off to a good start.
Kind of a cool deal. Did you see Vlad Jr. swing last
yes.
night? It looks just like his dad.
He looks like his dad, plays like his dad, hits like his dad. And happening in Montreal was just so cool because when I think Expos, one of the people I think of is Vladimir Guerrero. And for that to happen there and for it to beat the Cardinals, it was really cool.
For it to beat the Cardinals.
You know, I'd enjoy watching the Cardinals lose, even in the preseason. I don't wish anything on them that's improper. I do hope they don't lose anything more. Like I said on Twitter, I don't want them to lose more than 162 games this season. I'd rather they
you
not.
You picked them to make a wild card appearance.
I did. I think they're a wild card team. I think they're good.
Is that what you really feel, or is that almost your protective mechanism a little bit?
No. I think they have a good team. I love their. I love the pickup of Ozuna for them. I thought it changed their lineup. It allows them to get Carpenter into a spot in the lineup where I think he makes more sense. It also allows them defensively to get Fowler to a corner where he's a better player. They have a good team. They have a solid pitching staff. They get some pitchers back later in the season. Wainwright opens on the DL. Reyes opens on the DL. I do think their bullpen has issues. I don't understand why they have not signed Greg Holland. It's good news for Mike Myers, but I don't understand why they haven't signed Greg Holland to this point. I don't think they're as good as the Cubs, but I do think their pitching is better than the Brewers' pitching.
What came out 33 years ago today?
33 years ago today. So that would be
1985 today.
1985. The moonwalk?
No, but you could at least get there from here. The original Air Jordans.
Oh, wow.
32 years ago today. They debuted in 5 markets, according to Darren Revelle. They retailed for $64.95, which was $150 in today's inflated money.
You know what Air Jordan did?
What?
Saved Nike. Nike was dying.
Not anymore.
No.
It was not the most expensive shoe on the market, however. What athlete you think had the most expensive shoe on the market in 1985? You're probably not going to guess this because I'm more of a fan of the sport and I had no clue.
Okay, so it's not a basketball player.
No.
Because what was going through my mind was Magic Johnson.
Nope.
What athlete had the most expensive shoe on the market in 1985? I'm going to guess tennis.
It was $116 in 1985 money.
Am I right that it's tennis?
Yeah.
Okay. 85. John McEnroe? Jimmy?
Nope.
Bjorn Borg?
Nope.
I don't know.
Avon Lindell.
That was my, okay.
Avon Lindell had the Fila calfskin tennis shoe for $116, which is $270 today.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing how sports have changed. Tommy talked about this a little bit with in 1985, if you wanted to get your sports fix on television, you had to watch all of a sportscast –
And they'd get to whatever your sport was, if it was tennis or golf or baseball or basketball or the NFL or whatever. But you kind of had to watch everything else too. You couldn't boil down your sports preferences. You didn't have a Twitter feed. You didn't have access to the MLB app or the NFL app or the NBA app, the golf channel, the MLB network. NFL Network. You couldn't isolate the way you could now.
Because you don't have to anymore hang on for 42 minutes waiting to see when they're going to show that Sharks Kings highlight from last night.
I mean, I'm a Cubs fan. Back in the 80s, I had to wait for the ticker to find out, hey, did we win today? What were the highlights? Now, I can go to the app. 3 minutes, I've got all the highlights.
You get notifications every run scored to your phone.
Absolutely. Game started. Run scored.
Yeah.
Game's over. Here's the highlight package. And here's a 16-minute recap with all of the critical video.
Yeah.
I don't have to know about the Kings.
Sports franchises have never had to be more pliable. Figure out how to manipulate the right. No, there is no more just mass consumption stuff.
And so you become an expert on your team. And completely ignorant with what's going on in the rest of the world. And it's it's just changing some of the sports.
Baseball has changed well, even though they don't market for crap.
Yeah, baseball has become a very regional sport for whatever reason.
You care about your team and your division.
What's weird about that, not to get down this rabbit hole necessarily, but the NBA and the NFL are not that way. Those are still national sports.
It's 162 games versus 82 versus 16.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I get that. I do. It's fascinating to me.
It's time and attention span necessary from an hour standpoint per year.
I'm going to use him as an example because yesterday he came out with the prank thing. He does a prank thing every year. Chris Bryant. I realize he's a Cub. Sorry. Chris Bryant, been a Rookie of the Year. He was the Golden Spikes winner. Rookie of the Year. MVP. He's won a World Series. I'd kill to be that good looking for one day just to know what it's like. He has a great personality. All of those things. Everything you could want from a marketing standpoint, he has. If Chris Bryant had played in the 70s and 80s, he's a superstar. He's a national superstar had he played baseball in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
He's not a he's not a superstar now. And he has everything you need to be a superstar.
But it's a lot of stuff. And you're right. It's fascinating. It's from a business standpoint remarkable, considering how well they're doing without that. But it's fewer national games in a week in their sports. There's not the highlight game for baseball, or at least the same amount of nights relative to the season length, as basketball and football. And it's what we just talked about. I mean, if you're watching SportsCenter and you're trying to find out about the Braves, well, you're going to catch a lot of Mariners. You're going to catch a lot of A's.
Yeah,
you're going to
sure.
see a lot of Royals and Indians and White Sox.
Sure.
You don't have to do that. Fantasy baseball is so much less than the other fantasy sports, whereas the reason I'm so well-versed in the NFL is usually fantasy-related.
Yeah, I know.
I don't play fantasy baseball, so I don't know some of these dudes.
I've thought about making myself play fantasy football to keep up with the NFL better.
Yeah. No, I know. So.
It's fascinating to me. I mean, he's one of the two or three really prominent examples of everything you could want from a marketing standpoint. He's there. I mean, if Chris Bryant were a golfer, a quarterback.
It's just not what the game is anymore.
A small forward.
Mm-hmm.
He's international, man.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You can get local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option so you get that lower rate even after you have locked it in, if it's before you close. 662-234-2704. J-Lo, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Billy's Pecans. Guests join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Billy's Pecans, established in 1981. It's been craved ever since. If you are looking for a perfect corporate gift, whether it's a corporate client, presents for your staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral, Billy's Pecans has the perfect crunch for every palate. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it with expertise and excellence, and all with their signature Southern style. With items at every price point, you simply can't choose wrong. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans, and it couldn't be more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com. Or give them a call, 1-800-624-7404. Do us a favor and tell Stacy or Bailey, whoever you talk to there at Billy's Pecans, that you heard about it here on the podcast. We would appreciate that quite a bit. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons. No 5-minute wait. They have Kasasa. It's the best cash checking account anywhere. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. ATM fees are refunded with Kasasa, and OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using the online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the Moonlight Grahams will be playing Saturday, April the 28th at World Music Nashville in the Bellevue area at 7 p.m. The Moonlight Grahams are a folk Americana band started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Tickets $10. That includes a digital copy of the new album. You can buy those tickets off their Facebook page or at ticketzone.com. It's their new album, Moonlight Grahams, is out on Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like it, spread the word. The show, April 28th, World Music Nashville, 7 p.m. You don't want to miss the Moonlight Grahams.
So I'll close the show today. That's way too early, but just kind of give you a sense of the different setups. This year is the middle of the 2018 baseball season. It's basically here. It's going to happen this weekend, the halfway point. Projected field of 64 from Baseball America. Ole Miss comes in with the number 4 national seed. This, again, means absolutely nothing, but they've got Oklahoma, California, and Alabama State in the Oxford Regional and have the Rebels paired with number 13 seed Duke. They are seeding all 16 host teams moving forward. That is one change for the bracket. Still the top 8 teams host, but just it's no longer geographic as much, as even though it's going to be. Sorry, they're just going to put a number next to names. And it's not snake formatted or anything. It's going to be 116, 215, 314 as far as the regionals. They are not reseeding, however. You just are wherever you are at the start of the bracket. And looking at other SEC teams, Florida gets the number 2 overall national seed. Southern Miss, 16 overall national seed, the last host site. Scrolling for any more SEC teams. Auburn, number 12 national seed. Arkansas, number 6 national seed. Kentucky, number 7 national seed. Vanderbilt, number 10 national seed. So actually, they get 4 super regional potentials in the SEC based off this bracket. Also of note, no longer can conference teams be, or sorry, they can now be paired together in super regionals as host sites. As you see here, number 7 seed Kentucky facing number 10 seed Vanderbilt in super regionals. So they've always avoided that in the past, but now with the new seeding 1 through 16, that's no longer the case. They can be paired together for super regional rounds. It's really a shame that a state's not better, because you could have an Ole Miss and state super regional set up from the beginning. Newell wants it because he likes the chaos.
I would love an Ole Miss State Super Regional.
Would you?
Oh, God.
You would need extra security.
I would enjoy it. on levels that are hard for me to describe.
Would you really?
Yes. The meltdown capabilities.
All the way around?
Everywhere.
So close to having it if State could have just beaten Louisiana Lafayette.
Nobody cheered harder than me.
That was such the interesting thing because I couldn't figure out what team wanted it more or less because Ole Miss was still trying to get over the hump and going, oh, my God, what if State is on Swayze Field dogpiling and it happens again? And that Ole Miss team was going to beat that State team. They were better.
I wanted that to happen so bad. It was difficult for me. I have a warped personality, and I wanted that. I needed that. As Jeffrey would say, there was a part of my soul that craved it. There was a little part of my soul that died when ULL beat Mississippi State.
It would have been 18 to 27 innings of panic more than relief or celebration or cheering or anything.
Yeah, there are media people that I would have paid to watch during that because they're so ingrained. I would have loved to have watched fan bases deal with that level of angst.
Mm-hmm.
It just would have been perfect.
Yeah.
It would have been better. The only thing better would be Ole Miss and State in an Egg Bowl where the winner goes to Atlanta.
Well, right.
Is just fan freaking tastic.
I mean, you got one where the winner went to the Sugar Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of angst.
There was.
Like, people say, well, what about basketball if they played each other in the tournament? No. And even the SEC baseball tournament, like, by the time
that doesn't count. They played the finals in 2005.
It didn't matter. Both teams already knew they were, like, hosting and stuff. It just it was immaterial. And in basketball, yeah, one team's going to take home the big black
pyramid. It's no longer a pyramid, right?
Is it not a pyramid anymore?
Didn't they take the pyramid away?
Oh, they shouldn't, because that was the greatest paperweight ever.
I thought they took the pyramid away. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody help.
And I mean, yeah, you want to win the big paperweight and cut the nets down, but by that point, realistically, you're both in the tournament. So 2 hours after the game's over, you're going to find out, okay, we're going to San Diego or we're going to Wichita or whatever. Okay, so let's move on. We play St. Mary's. We're playing Loyola. We're playing Xavier. Okay, let's get ready. The game's over. It's completely immaterial. It would not have been that way in baseball. It would not have been that way in baseball. Someone's going to Omaha, and someone's going home and having to hear about the other team going to Omaha.
Yeah, because it's not one day. It's two more weeks.
Oh, I would have loved it. Yeah. Oh, God. So it's even better now that I think about it than the Sugar Bowl because the loser went to a bowl.
No, the losing Super Regional's home. Over.
Yeah. You know, you get to move on. You get to, oh, well, you know, we played a bad third quarter or whatever. We'll regroup and get ready for the next disappointing. But, no, this would be, well, it's devastating. It's devastating.
Yeah.
God, that would have been awesome.
All right. We're going to have Dane Terry talk some baseball on tomorrow's podcast. Again, heavy podcast day, so stay locked in with MPW Digital. And we will get them to you as soon as possible. Thanks to Kelly for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.